In.
Out.
I say in.
Out.
I want to tell una story.
Thank you.
Now the fish them in there. The fish them.
I have been telling this story in my country, Sierra Leone, and now I want to tell it to you. The story is called Saving the Fish. And even though it's an old, old story, as old as my tongue, or even older than the tongues before me, it feels very timely right now. See, my country is still reeling from the effects of the Ebola virus. So please join me, like we are going to eat out of the same bowl with our hands. That's how we do it in Sierra Leone. Mm-hmm. Eat from the same bowl. I am going to say in, and you are going to say out. In. Yes, out. Fantastic. I also want you to hear from others in my country who have their stories to tell of living through Ebola and beyond. Let them introduce themselves to you.
My name is Issa French, a nurse working in the Kenema Government Hospital.
He is the hero who ran a hospital almost single-handedly.
I am Alhassan Kemokai. I am an Ebola survivor. I'm here to tell my story.
He needs to tell his story, as do others like a young student nurse who recovered from Ebola and then returned to the isolation unit to treat others.
I'm Bilkisu Ikaoma. I'm an Ebola survivor. I'm a nurse in training, but presently I finished my training, but I have no job now.
And her beloved brother, Yusuf.
I'm Bilkisu's brother. I'm an Ebola survivor. I study social work, but for now I have no job.
There's also the man who ran the burial team in the hardest hit area.
My name is Sheku Mara Rasta. Ebola started here from Bondo. I'm a burial team.
And then there's the Sierra Leonean who was educated both at home and in the West, which means he not only understands his own people, but also the language of the donors. He has some important things to say.
My name is Obisise. I was the director of the Situation Room at the National Ebola Response Center of Sierra Leone. Bear this in mind. If anybody tells you they understood the Ebola response, tell them the director of the Situation Room said it's because it hasn't been explained to them properly.
We'll hear from a chief who explains how his community beat Ebola. And the children will be speaking out as well.
It was very frightening. If someone witnessed their friends and relatives dying, they were terrified it was going to happen to them.
Open you yai day, open you yai day, open you yai day, look at ma. I say in, out, in, out.
There were all the fish together. The catfish, which we call Gubobo. Gubobo enjoys being around the mud, protecting, looking after all the mud and all the muddy banks. Gubobo loves being there. And then there was the sandfish, which you call tilapia. We call that one Tompo. And Tompo loved being in the sand, looking after the sand, cleaning the sand, making sure everything is fine with the sand. And then there was the very, very tiny, tiny, tiny little fish. They are so tiny, they are everywhere. They floated everywhere and they looked after the top of the water to make sure if even a leaf is passing by, they will clear out the leaf. And this tiny little fish, we call it Makpegedenting. Well, they all had many duties to do. Everything was fine for a very, very, very long time. The fish had forgotten why they were there. Of course, why not? Everything is fine. They relaxed and gradually neglected their duties. And one day, it flooded. I mean, it flooded. It was huge. As floods always do, it came with a lot of wahala. It wiped out everything in its path, fell down trees, crushed houses, carried people away. Oh, it was bad. I mean, bad.
Do
During the Ebola crisis, 9 members of my family were admitted, and only 3 of us survived the Ebola. I lost my mother, my direct mother. I lost my brother-in-law. I lost my brother, a junior brother. Then I lost one of my sister. I equally lost one of my nephew at the age of 9 months.
I got infected through my dad because my dad was a medical personnel. He was a pharmacist. He got sick. I treated him. Then I got infected.
And then we did our usual funeral ceremony in Sierra Leone. The next day, the entire family, every individual that contacted the cop got sick in the house. Sick, we keep on sick. Our family members keep on dying, brothers dying. Me and Bilkisu survived. It's all the 2 of us survived. For now, it's not easy for us. No one to ask for help, only God. No one to ask for help, only God.
The only ones to escape the flood were some monkeys. They had climbed up the huge cotton tree and clung on for their lives. The flood had brought terrible things. I mean terrible things. Horrible, smelly sewage. Sticky, thick, dark oil of all mixtures. And on top of that, the flood had brought salty water mixing with the fresh water. Oh, it was bad. It was Nankashi. It was Katakata. It was serious wahala. It was bad.
Ebola started here from Bondo.
Ebola started here in Bondo, and I ran the burial team.
That bucket had been used.
I just used plastic and a bucket. I mixed the water in the bucket with chlorine. I went and got the bodies, put them on a stretcher, and carried them to the burial ground. We didn't have a vehicle. It was hard work.
Hard work.
When the Ebola break out in Sierra Leone, first of all, it's a medical war. And who is going to fight this war is the nurses. By them, the knowledge of the nurses on infection control was very down there, was very poor. Our colleagues were dying because Ebola was really confusing. After our colleagues have died, few of us who we are still alive, we started advising ourselves, hey, this is not a joke. This is not a child joke. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to take precautions, and we can only fight Ebola through a teamwork.
So when even the nurses came around to give me my medication, sometimes I refused to take. I was just hoping for me to die so that I'll meet my father and my brothers. But when my brother was in the unit with me, he used to say that all is not lost. Your father is gone, but I'm here for you. I'm still your father. Just keep your life. Not until one day, when his result came out that he is negative, he said to me, Bilkisu, I'm going, but just keep the faith, huh? My father is with you, don't worry. Sorry.
In truth, it was not easy for us because in the unit there, you see so many people dying every blessed day. Every blessed day. At times, you're talking with a patient in another bed, then after 1 or 2 minutes, the patient died. So it's like, it's really traumatic in there. When the doctor, you see, Bilkisu is not negative, like, I was just crying. I said, God, thank you. Because like, I could not imagine how I'm alone could live in this world without this woman, you see. So this is it.
The first bit of social mobilization that went out about Ebola was, if you get it, you will die. There's no cure. Now you say that to somebody in Kwenadugu district, and they know that when they get the symptoms, they don't even go to hospital. Because our people know that where Western medicine fails, traditional medicine starts. So who made that message? And were they sensitized about the particular culture of our people? We had to make sure that the local ownership reflected that. The resources and the expertise came from overseas, at least initially. But the cultural relevance had to be local. And without it, we would probably still be fighting Ebola.
The nurses were actually overworked. Quite a good number of them were frightened. So if they asked them to enter into the world to treat the patients, some will enter but will not stay long. We enter for just a few minutes and get back. There was a nurse in the hospital that was called French. When I was in the isolation center, French used to give me courage words. Al-Hassan, you will make it up. Al-Hassan, you will make it up.
Like for Al-Hassan, he was just feeling that he's coming to die because people are dying. He was confused, just moving around the world. Moving, say, oh, fellow, I just want to die. I say, guy, you will not die here. Don't feel like you are coming here to die, or what people told you that we are just removing people's blood to sell, or we are here to kill people, we are here to save life. So I just told him, just feel at home, I'm your brother. At the start, people were not eating. You can bring all type of food, all type of meat. They said no, they just want to die. Because he said when he brought people in the hospital for Ebola, they are coming to die.
He's afraid because when you don't see come.
It was very frightening. If someone witnessed their friends and relatives dying, they were terrified it was going to happen to them. My sister and I saw our best friend being taken away to the camp in a wheelbarrow. She never came back, she died.
My sister and Paddy himself again, he died.
So the monkeys were up the tree, and suddenly one monkey saw the fish swimming below. He screamed in horror, kya, 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 called out to all the other monkeys. Well, as you know, there are different types of monkeys: black face, red face, long tail, long arms, long nose, flat nose, big nose, small nose. They all came together and were alarmed to see these creatures with no arms, no legs in the water. After a long, long debate, the monkeys decide to put their differences aside and help save these poor creatures out of the water so they didn't all perish. Some hang up on the tree with their tails while throwing fruits down. Others climb down and stand on the banks. Others hold the branches so they don't break. Others try to communicate with the creatures, and others throw in nets to catch the pitiful creatures.
Ebola is community work. It's about changing attitudes. So the biggest part of beating Ebola is not really about how many hospitals you build. It's about whether your people trust you and change their behavior. We started coming up with things like introducing women into burial teams, because it is absolutely taboo for men to wash a female corpse in this country. But all our burial teams were male. The problem we had before with the Ebola response was the fragmentation and the duplication by international partners, because there was no strong central leadership. Even outside of that, who staffs differed. You know, somebody's gone, they've done a degree in politics and history at Cambridge. They go and do a master's in political economy or master's in African studies at the School of Oriental and Africa Studies. They have an interest, they want to do good, they come. And hey, all of a sudden they're making policy. And so it was very important to say, this is our fight and we do appreciate your help, but you help us within the ambit of our strategic objectives. You don't go off pissed. You don't go off the reservation. You don't drive straight to Bo and do what you want. If you do, we'll kick you out of the country.
Each chief, you get his sub chief now.
The chiefs summon all of the town and section chiefs and inform them that as chiefs, they would be responsible if their subjects touched sick people and got infected, and then they, the chiefs, would be arrested. In this way, we rallied the community, everyone. The chiefs rallied the traditional leaders too.
In many parts of the country, there are those that are considered the political leaders, and then there are those that are considered thought leaders. They're not always the same. People might pay homage to a chief, but they actually have a lot more respect for an unelected guy who just runs a cafe down the road. But you need to know that society to know that that guy is a key lever. And if you move him, you can move the entire society. And so people like the traditional leaders represent that sort of soft power that you really have to incorporate. Traditional healers are part of the healthcare system in Sierra Leone. You are ignorant if you try and address healthcare and ignore them. We worked with them in the Ebola response because we felt they were central. They spread our message, and they were also an early warning system. We stopped them from practicing, but even when they weren't practicing, people still came to them. And they would alert us once they saw symptoms that they felt were worrisome. So we worked very closely together. Taking account of the cultural idiosyncrasies of our people, the washing of the dead and all of this, and as I said, introducing women into burial teams so that women wash corpses, introducing traditional secret society people into the burial teams and training them meant that when somebody senior died, they could still have the dignified burial, because safe and dignified, as dictated by international standards, is about burying somebody with full medical protection so that there's minimal risk of infection to anybody else around that corpse. But that is not dignified in an African sense. In Africa, we carry you from the day you're born to the day you die. We pick you up from your mother's womb and we wash you, and we do the same to you before we put you into the belly of the earth. We touch you from the day you're born to the day you die. With Ebola, we are asking mothers to look at their children who are bleeding from every orifice and not touch them. How are they going to believe government to tell them that? Only traditional healers.
Eh? As you can expect, all the fish ran and scattered everywhere in panic as the monkeys came down. What business have monkeys got with fish? They have never taken an interest in us before. The fish ran to escape. There was a fish who understood the monkeys. He was the monkfish. He heard what the monkeys were saying about the flood, and he understood. He tried to tell the other fish, but it was too late. Some of the fish had already swum into sewage water to hide. Some already into dark, oily waters to hide. Some already into salty water. The monkeys were terrified of drowning, but they were busy catching fish and laying them on the banks. Here, the monkfish was screaming out to the monkeys that they needed to get clean buckets of water to put the fish in, with some sand and some mud and a bit of gravel. The monkeys did not understand. It was chaos. It was katakata.
Why do you work for Ebola?
When I was doing my work with the burial team during Ebola, my friends will have nothing to do with me. My family didn't accept me. Only music made me feel fine.
That time I'm one. Only music. Music.
I like the musician Lucky Dube, Strong for Peace. I played it all the time. Only me, only me, all alone. I had this small tape and I played the music loud.
Music all the time, and I play music.
I'm glad you were Jesus, save me. I'm glad you were Jesus, save me. If you're not been there for Jesus, now who say I go there? I'm glad you were Jesus, save me. I'm glad you were Jesus, save me. I'm glad you were Jesus, save me. If you're not been there for Jesus, now who say I go there? I'm glad you were Jesus, save me. I'm glad you.
First, my father became ill. We all had to go to the treatment center. My father died. I got better, but I was stigmatized. It started in the treatment center from people I knew. Then when I got home, I was very afraid to go outside or move around. Now I'm suffering from the side effects of the illness. I have headaches, body aches, and I have trouble with my eyes.
My family was suffering stigma from my community. Like if my wife go to fetch water in the well or a pump, a tap, they say, oh, French wife is coming. Ebola virus, she is coming. So they can even lock the tap, the well, and you know, she will return back home crying. What is happening? They say, they have just closed everything. They say, you are a Ebola champion. Everybody abandoned me. If they saw me coming, this will go this way, this will go this way, so French is coming. So I was just looking and then I laughed at them. I said, they don't know what they are saying. The time Ebola was going down, they started talking to me, encouraging me. I said, well, this is the day for you to talk to me nice. I was praying for this day, and we are all brothers.
Of course, quite a good number of our colleagues are facing many post-complications. But mine, presently, as I'm looking at you, as I'm speaking now to you, is a vision problem. Then quite a good number of our colleagues have air problem, internal body pain, especially like some of the ladies have not got their messes since then. Some male guys are not getting their functions well. Our government is yet to reach us. We have a lot of promises from them that they are going to aid survivors. Even the frontline soldiers who lost their lives for this country, they were promised giving them and some packages. And up to this moment, the packages are yet to come.
Presently, I'm volunteering still. No pay, I haven't received any pay from the government. Not me alone anyway, I was there with colleagues. We are just volunteering. So I told them, the government need to pay us, but if not, let's just believe in God and work for this nation.
The post-Ebola period is worse because you can't imagine survivors going to bed hungry now. No food for them, no place for them to sleep. It's painful. You know, most of the time, when you see your colleague survivor, you know that, oh, we are suffering. This man is suffering. Some of them even go, hey man, I'm hungry. Can you have something? You have something there? Then if I have something in my wallet, I say, okay, now let's share this one. I don't disclose my identity that I'm a survivor because there are some communities when you disclose that you're a survivor, then to some extent they keep on watching you. Even if I have a new girlfriend, I will not say I'm a survivor because that is the end of the love. You know, up till now, even the medics themselves, they are not 100% sure of us. And I don't say that I'm a survivor because as you say that, then people keep on watching you. Ah, this man. Even for them to come close to you is a problem.
As the flood waters came from nowhere, so they went back to nowhere. Some of the fish that had run into sewage water now had their problems. Those that ran into sticky, oily water had their problems. Those that ran into salty water had their problems too. The fish that were in the buckets also had their problems. As for those laying on the banks, they had their problems. But there was one more big problem, a huge problem. All the fish together, they now no longer trusted each other. Because some of the fish had mud on them, which they never had before. Some of them had sand on them, oily water on them, which they never had before. Some of them smelt, stank with sewage water, which they never had before. Some of the monkeys looked down on the fish lying on the bank and said, you know, when they wake up from their sleep, they will thank us for what we did for them. Other monkeys were not so sure. All the monkeys climbed higher up into the trees, looking down, hoping for hope.
When I got discharged, doctor called me that I should come and work with her, so I come. My first contact with her, she was a girl, really. She was a little girl. She was a month, a baby. She was a month. She lost her parents. She is the only one that was lying in the cot. So when I went there, I asked doctor, how about this girl? She said, I don't know. I don't know how to even contact the remaining relative, you see, but I think you should come and take care of this girl. I said, okay, no problem. So I start monitoring the girl, but unfortunately, she didn't make it. She died. That was really painful for me on that day when the girl passed off. I was started thinking of my own parent. But if she could survive, I would sit her one day. If she might be survive, I would sit her one day and explain my own story to her. But unfortunately, she couldn't make it.
Like so me,
Me, I want to see all our towns and villages in good condition and for the markets to be big and busy and for people not to suffer. Both my parents are dead and I live with my grandmother. She sells soap, but sometimes we eat, sometimes we don't eat.
Granny Sunday will eat, Sunday will eat.
Ebola is a force multiplier. Because thanks to Ebola, other pathogens that we could readily address killed us in vast more numbers than they would have, because patients were scared of doctors and doctors were scared of patients. And so nobody went to hospital. So malaria, measles, and all these other things went amok. No, I don't know if anybody's done the data, but you'll find that the deaths from these as a result of people avoiding hospitals was several multiples of the actual numbers that were killed by Ebola. The reason I bring this up is because I have a fundamental belief that Ebola is a symptom. 20 years ago, we called it the Civil War. Now we called it Ebola. They're different things, but fundamentally, they represent system failure. When institutions are tested, can they stand up to it? Every system will face a test. Whether it's the security of the Japanese nuclear plants, or it is the levees in New Orleans. And then you will realize just how strong that system is. But this came in an environment where we had weak states with very weak institutions that had been hollowed out by years of war and corruption and mismanagement, and thus came Ebola.
The hope for my children is for them to become good children in life by educating them. I know how I have struggled a lot to save lives, to find money, to sustain my life. I just really need standard education for my children, for them to grow up in a good home. And they will get Sierra Leone at heart. In terms of any outbreak or in terms of any conflict in the country, I believe my children will intervene and fight as I do.
Now, Granny, Jesus, save me. If you are not being there for Jesus, now say I go there. Now, Jesus, save me. Now,
open you yai de, open you yai de, open you yai de, Lukama. Ina.